Hey, baby, welcome to Nervous Rex, baby. Oh, baby, I'm sorry I haven't been posting, baby. I think the last time I left you guys, I was going to do ayahuasca and then I couldn't do it because I have a stomach issue that needs to be addressed. So I had to postpone my ayahuasca journey, unfortunately. So it wasn't meant to be yet, but I'm still going to do it. But I have something's wrong with the little thing in my regalia. So I had to go to get a CAT scan to see what was wrong with my stomach. I was getting these weird, like, I thought it was a hernia or appendix issue. And when you do ayahuasca, you basically purge and throw up a lot and it would just keep fucking up my stomach. I didn't do ayahuasca yet, unfortunately. So, you know, when it's time, it's time. That's what you gotta look at it that way. But I'm bummed out because I did the whole month preparation for it. You do a diet, you do a new social media detox, because they don't want you to go into, they say don't watch horror movies before you go in to do ayahuasca because your subconscious will bring up, you know, all this dark shit. So you kind of want to come in with a clean plate physically and in your head as well. So I did the whole cleanse and then I couldn't do ayahuasca, but I got to do a healthy cleanse, which in itself felt good. You got to eliminate salty foods, red meat, pork, all this stuff. So I was just eating soup, salad, rice, and no social media or news. And I got to be honest, a couple times I peaked because, I mean, the fucking world is, you know, crumbling before us. So you peak sometimes, but minimizing social media and just not putting junk food in your brain or your body, it was worth it just for that. I mean, fuck, I'm glad I did it. And now I know next time when it's time to go in deep to meet Mother Ayahuasca, I can do the cleanse. It wasn't that hard. So yeah, what was I going to talk about? So anyway, I'm sitting in Joshua Tree. Solitude is a motherfucker. I'm really trying to be aware of this time alone and how good it is because most people can't sit, you know, alone with themselves for 5 minutes, myself included. I'm learning to. I think it's Blaise Pascal says all of man's problems arise from not being able to sit alone with himself in a room for 15 minutes. Pretty true. I think I butchered that quote, but you get what I'm saying. Being alone is a motherfucker. I'm an only child. I'm used to being alone, but I'm talking where I'm at here in the desert is extreme solitude. And sometimes you fucking go a little crazy. So what I did was I got Oculus Quest VR and I hang out with a couple of my friends in a VR world and look at their avatar and talk to them. And after I hang out with them, I feel like I hung out with my friend. And one of my friends who's been on the show, Jordan Rubin, he and I both meet up in these like movie theaters and hang out and talk. And it's like, oh my God, this is what it's come to. I'm living in a VR world in my desert house. It's really bizarre. And you can kind of tell where it's going. Like the VR shit is going to be really fucking crazy in a few years. It's already there, but like it's going to get nuts. Kind of creepy, kind of ominous. Yeah, and I'm just trying to like not, you know, I don't know, with all this downtime, it's so hard. I don't know about you guys, but fuck, it's so hard to get inspired and creative when the world is crumbling and there's no for certainty and everyone's free falling and grabbing onto straws and everyone's losing their mind. Oh, everyone's political and we're all brainwashed and I'm a narcissist and I could admit it. I think that I am a narcissistic aging prick who's holding on for dear life. That's the credits. So but we all are. I'm just really studying a lot about narcissism. I mean, it's fascinating. I think living in LA and being around so many people who come to LA to make it, a lot of delusional dreamer, narcissistic people, again, myself included. But I'm realizing when faced with this pandemic situation, how many people around me in LA are fantastical thinkers and dreamers, same kind of people that would be super religious. And that's fine. I'm jealous of that. I wish I could. But that believe in that, that have magical thinking and just blind faith. It's a big topic in my head lately because I wish I could just flip a switch and just believe in, you know, it's like the argument like, okay, you believe in this God. This is a heavy topic. Some people aren't going to like this. If you believe in this God, you're negating all the other gods. It's like, oh no, Muhammad is God, Jesus, Buddha, those aren't gods, my God. So everyone's basically got their God, and Christianity being the biggest one. So Jesus is the most popular. He's got the most followers on Instagram. But then if you choose that God, then you're saying the other 300 gods that exist around the world aren't real. No, no, those gods aren't real. It's my God. And then I don't believe that. So I believe, so what is it, right? And I've had a couple of those experiences on psychedelics where you meet your maker and have a rebirth experience and connect to source and you meet something. If anything, I thought it was a feminine energy. When I went there, if anything, straight up, God is could be a woman. I mean, I know, you know, obviously white men have written history throughout all this time. So you're going to hear what is written by pretty much we're going to hear what white Western European men have told us in America, at least. But dude, if there's a God, what if she's a woman? She's hot. You know, she's probably hot. Think about it. I mean, I bet you she's a powerful, hot black woman. Just saying. Is that racist? No, because I'm giving it props. So, but you know what? I know nothing. And I just wish I had blind faith in something. But it's really hard to believe in shit when everything's bullshit. I mean, I just feel like everything's such fucking bullshit. And America is a very fundamental, conspiratorial thinking country. I read, and I think, I don't know if it was Andrew Jackson or Jefferson. One of them in a State of the Union speech said that... That white people lived in North America first and Native Indians came and killed all of them. And that's why the white people killed them to get them back. So it's really white people's land. And that was the president speaking at a State of the Union, and people believe, I mean, that he probably believed it too. And that's some crazy shit. So this country was founded on violence. This country was founded on conspiratorial thinking, fundamentalist faith in Christianity and Catholicism, and it's not changing. And you know, we're all not gonna get, look, this is just me fucking spewing out of my head, I don't fucking know, but it's just like, dude, there's 330 million people. Like, it's not gonna, we're not gonna all get along. We have shitty roommates, it's okay, we all don't have to agree. Like, when did, it's just a weird time where everyone's like fighting, and the best thing is deleting your social media. We're all brainwashed. You listening to this right now, whether you know it or not, we're all brainwashed. So it's easy to point at the other people and be like, no, you're brainwashed. We all are. We're all brainwashed by society. We're all brainwashed by the TV we grew up on, by the school, by the shit we're fed. I'm drinking espresso. And it's interesting to sit alone and just stare at the fire by yourself in the desert and just like think about this kind of shit. I think it's important to do it. I wish that, like, I want all my friends to experience what I'm experiencing and like share my home with them. Be like, I want you to go stay at my place for 3 days by yourself and delete your social media and don't watch the news and see what comes up, because it's really interesting. You just look at the stars at night. You just real connect. You're like, this is how we've lived for hundreds of thousands of years. Depending on your religion, you won't believe that. Some religions believe the earth's only 6,000 years old, but I believe in science, and it's older. But that's okay. And fuck, man. Are you guys going crazy too? I mean, it's okay. Go a little crazy. I think it's good. I think it's good for you. So I'm just like sitting in this awkward, weird, quiet fucking space and just what comes up, and it's a trip. Well, I bought a couple of new books, Stealing Fire by Jamie Wheel and Stephen Kotler. Jamie Wheel, I'm obsessed with. I always find people that I go down a YouTube wormhole of his stuff. It's all about flow and how Silicon Valley and Navy SEALs and maverick scientists are revolutionizing the way we live and work by flow, which flow is when you're in the zone. And that's when you're in that magic space, when you're playing basketball in a group sports and you're just not in, the prefrontal cortex shuts off, the Woody Allen part of your brain that's neurotic and overanalyzes everything. And you just go into a state of creativity and flow. And it could happen when you're making music, or if you're freestyling with your boys, or if you're riding a bike, it could happen. It's like you shut off your part of your brain that thinks too much. And that's when magic can happen. That's when, you know, when you see someone like Jimi Hendrix up on stage playing guitar and they're just in the zone and you're attracted to that because you see that they're in the zone, and it's the most, humans are, other people are attracted to someone who's in the zone. But it's hard to get there, but they're figuring out ways in science to shut off the prefrontal cortex, and you could learn like 17 times faster, and they're using Navy SEALs are using flow to train faster. It's a trip, really interesting topic. And of course, this is what my favorite topic is that religions were founded on psychedelics, which is a very good argument to could be made that that's true. Now, before Christianity, in Greece, there was a religion that has no name, but they used to do a holy sacrament. I can't remember the name of the drink, but every year there was a town, Ulysses, I can't remember right now. But anyway, they would all go there, Plato included. Plato, the first ever, you know, the beginning of Western philosophy, would do this sacrament. And it was like a 3-day psychedelic journey. And they argue that that's where religion began. And the pagan kind of stuff came from there. And then it went to Christianity. And then it got rewritten by other old, you know, white men. And here we are today in America, brainwashed, basically. But I really would not be surprised if religion was founded on a psychedelic experience, conscious or not. Someone ate some mushrooms out of some cow shit, saw God, wrote it down. I think that argument could be made. I mean, I'm sorry if someone listening to this doesn't want to hear that, but I mean, maybe could you admit that that's possible? Because again, I did 5-MeO-DMT and I met God. So that DMT is in a lot of things. And I think it's been throughout history, I believe, motherfuckers ate some DMT and saw God and wrote it down. And not to say, that doesn't say that there isn't some type of God. Maybe it just connects you to it. It's not a hallucination. Maybe it just opens up that portal. I trip on this. There's this other dimensional shit that's weird. I trip on like you ever be thinking of someone and they call you or vice versa? It's like, what's that about? The weird kind of psychic connections. Or like, I had the weirdest shit happen where dreams, I've been trying to lucid dream where you control your dreams and tap into that shit. And there's tricks you can do throughout the day to, when you go to bed at night, you can lucid dream. And I had a couple recently. Like the other night, I had a dream about a hummingbird coming up to me and flying around my head and like buzzing on my neck. And in my dream, I was like, I knew I was dreaming. I'm like, why is this hummingbird here? The next day, I see a hummingbird come right up. Yesterday, I was watching the Super Bowl, and this hummingbird came up to the window and left. Coincidence? Sure, probably, but still interesting. Or like, a while ago, right in the beginning of the pandemic, I'd wake up and I was like, whoa, that's weird. I dreamt about my friend from high school and they had texted me at 2 a.m. This happened 3 nights in a row. What the fuck is that about? 3 people texted me 3 nights in a row checking in on me and I dreamt about them and woke up and saw their text. And then I was like, whoa, they texted me at like 2 a.m. I wonder if that's when I dreamt about them. Like, what the fuck is that about? That shit's fascinating to me, you know? And I've never been this sober in my life. I smoked a lot of weed, you know, I'd always be high. I like to smoke weed a lot and I don't smoke weed, but really at all. And I do a gummy edible now and then. So I guess that's technically getting stoned, but like not like I used to. So I spent a lot of time sober and it's just really weird. The shit that how clear when you're clear. And especially right now with the world, the way it is, you feel like you're on acid all day, just being sober in this world. So it's a trip, but what was I saying? Oh yeah, the psychic weird psychic phenomena, and or like weird shit. Like when I was gonna buy this house, right? Like I really wonder: is everything a coincidence, or is there a design? There are no coincidences, right? Is it random, or is there some big design? Now, I'd like to think that it's just not chaos, and there's a design, that there's some order to everything, but I don't know. I don't know. And it just trips me out. And I'm gonna sip a coffee. This episode of Nervous Rex is brought to you by Shaman Ramen. Oh, baby, am I excited about this one. Two of my friends created the first adaptogenic superfood ramen, and boy, is it delicious. If you live in the Southern California area, you can go ahead and get it at Erewhon, but pretty soon it's going to be available all over. Look, it's an immune booster. It has 7 adaptogenic mushrooms. It's got anti-inflammatory ingredients, vitamins A and C, non-fortified nutritional yeast, soy-free, miso, 100% organic and plant-based. But the best part about it is it's sexy. And girls and guys love it when you're sexy because you're looking good and you're feeling good and you're slurping on some delicious, nutritious love. I'm telling you, there's lion's mane in it. There's cordyceps, reishi mushrooms. Is it reishi or reishi? Either way, there's a whole bunch of mushrooms, some that I can't even pronounce. But basically, long story short, it's the world's first adaptogenic superfood ramen. Conscience, convenience in a cup. And right now, let's be honest, we're all sitting around. We got nowhere to go. We're in a pandemic, so what better time to sit around and get healthy and just spend as little time as possible cooking? It's a win-win because I'm lazy. I just want to eat healthy and I don't have time to be messing around. So for all you guys out there, please, you must go to shamanfoods.life and check out this product. It is so good. Or you could go to Shaman Ramen on Instagram and check out the regalia. Guys, I'm telling you right now, this is a delicious treat. I back it. I just had one, and it's slurpy, delicious treat. I love you guys. So what was I just going to say? Oh, yeah. So I know these two girls that are twins, identical twins, which in itself is a trip. And when you hang out with them, it's like, whoa, what the fuck? They're finishing each other's sentences, and they have obviously a very deep bond. I mean, they're the same person basically, but different, right? And identical twins, I trip on. And these two twins that I know, they're together all the time, right? All the time they're together. And at one point in their relationship, or their life, they got in a fight and didn't talk for 6 months, right? One of the twins got in a car accident. Listen, they didn't talk for 6 months. One of the girls got in a car accident on the freeway, spun out, hit the wall on the side of a retaining wall. And the second the impacts happened, her phone texted and it was her, or called her, I can't remember. And it was her twin sister going, "Are you okay? My left arm just went numb." And that was the side that the fucking car hit. What the fuck, dude? She felt it. They didn't talk in 6 months. She knew something happened. Like, there's some weird shit. I think there's probably some weird connection that's always there. We just don't see it, you know? And sometimes the veil's lifted and you see it. But, you know, I think that social media news, the world we live in, you know, smoking weed, all the stimulants, we cloud that part, which we could tap into more. And once you go clear, you can kind of connect with that shit. It's really fucking weird. But anyway, I don't know. Or like when I was going to buy this house, I came out to Joshua Tree and I came out, I called the owner because I looked at it a couple times and then I wanted to see what it was like at night. So I came out and I called the owner. I said, "Can I go see the place at night? I want to see what it's like at night, the property." So I came out, looked at it, and I remember stepping off the deck and saying to myself, "Fuck, should I get this house?" And the biggest shooting star I've ever seen in my life went all the way across the sky, like a meteor. It was like red. And I was like, "Oh my God, is that coincidence or is that the answer?" You know, I trip out on that kind of shit. It's like, is it apophenia? Is that the word? Apophenia. It's a word I recently discovered that you're making connections that aren't there. You're connecting dots that aren't there. And I think that's what happens with a lot of conspiracy theorists, is that they're just like, coincidence? Is this what? But see, I don't know. I fucking don't know. I'm just curious and I want answers, baby. When you just sit alone with this shit, it could be nuts. It could be really nuts. But again, I think it's good to go nuts sometimes. What the fuck's going on? Oh, yeah, Super Bowl was boring, you know. Super Bowl is real boring. Oh, I got another book called The Overstory, a novel by Richard Powers, which is interesting. I usually don't get novels, but it's all about I heard Chris Ryan talking about it, and someone else told me about it. It's a book basically about trees and the relationship. Let me just give you a synopsis. Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award winner Richard Powers' 12th novel is sweeping. Sweeping, impassioned work of activism and resistance that is also a stunning evocation of and pinned to the natural world. From the roots of the crown and back to the seeds, the overstory unfolds in the fuck were concentric? Jeez, I'm dumb. Rings of interlocking fables that range from antebellum New York to the late 20th century timber wars of the Pacific Northwest and beyond. There's a world alongside ours, vast, slow, interconnected, resourceful, magnificently inventive, and almost invisible to us. The story of a handful of people who learn. So it's about trees and life that's around us, that kind of what I'm talking about, the psychic phenomena, that field, that dimension that we can't see. Really interested with that kind of shit. Really, really interested. What was it? Oh, yeah. I'm also, are you guys up on Robert Anton Wilson? Shout out to Andy Melanakis. He tattooed him on his arm. Raw, R-A-W. And there's Andy tattooed on his arm. Only the madman is absolutely certain, I believe is the line. Could that be any more poignant than what's going on right now? And I'm guilty of this too. Like, I'm like, oh, the pandemic's this, or oh, politics that. Bro, none of us know what the fuck's going on. So only a madman be like, no, this is what it is. Like, we don't fucking know. And Robert Anton Wilson also talks about how Americans are so jacked up on caffeine and sugar that everyone's just fucking like enraged. And I think more than ever, now there's medication. I mean, he said this in the 70s or 80s. I mean, listen to me going 100 miles an hour on coffee. That we're over caffeinated and over sugar levels are way too high in our country. And that's one of the root problems with our country. And it makes sense. I mean, everyone's just intoxicated on like crazy religion, conspiracy theories, sugar, blind faith. It's madness. It's madness. And it's around us and it's a collective. And it should be fucking all crazy and stuff, bro. Shit me all crazy, bro. And I think, like, if, you know, you ever get this question, like, if you could give anyone advice, what would it be? First of all, I'm the last person to give anyone advice. But the more I think about it, you gotta laugh at shit and you gotta laugh at yourself. If you could find that life is a big cosmic joke, everything else kind of just, you could laugh at it. Even in the pain, like, I'll be sitting here just by myself in the desert, staring at the fire for hours, not watching news, not looking at social media, you know. And I'm just stuck. All these thoughts come up and crazy shit. I'm journaling, which I've never done. They say to do that for the ayahuasca too. I've never been a journal guy, but just writing shit out, all the stuff that comes up. I'm like, oh my God, I got a lot of shit I got to work on. And you got to laugh at it. If you could laugh at yourself, just so many people just take themselves way too seriously. In Hollywood, in the spiritual world, those motherfuckers take themselves the most seriously. The ones that you would think would know that laughter is the best medicine are preaching all this stuff that can't even, they are playing a role in a character of some type of person that's got all the answers. You know, there's another quote I like that I'm going to butcher. I think it's Voltaire says, you know, run to those who seek the truth, run from those who claim to have found it. I'm sure I said that all the time. Motherfuckers, and another thing that's true is we put too much faith into one person, and I do this a lot. I'll find someone, I'm like, oh, this person's dope, he's dope, he's got a... It's like, really? And this is a cliche, corny shit. It's all from... We all got it inside us already. We don't need to put our faith in the answers in someone else, like a Donald Trump, or like a cult leader, or like a anyone, or Biden, or whoever. It's not like... It's so weird, you know. I think throughout history, we had tribe elders and we were in a group of 50 people and there was one old person that told us how it was. And now you got all these charlatans on YouTube and gurus and all this shit, and it's bullshit. Sorry, I don't know. And I'm saying this because I've been down that road. I just don't fucking, unfortunately, trust most people suck. And now we're too connected to too many people and it's just like, ah, you know what I'm saying? Shit be all crazy and stuff, bro. I'm going to play you a little Robert Anton Wilson speaking of. Check this dude out.
When you define the power elite as somebody else, I regard that as a loser script. I define the power elite as myself and my friends. And that's a winner script. And the way to accomplish things is with a winner script. Like a friend of mine in Silicon Gulch was telling me about a guy starting a new computer.
Silicon Gulch, he just said. That's how old this is. This is before it was Silicon Valley. Listen to this shit. He's talking about a friend starting a computer company.
Computer business there, and he said he's very optimistic. And I said, of course he is. Pessimists don't start businesses. Pessimists don't do a damn thing. Pessimists sit around telling each other how hopeless everything is. as the optimists who get things done. And so I define myself as a winner. I define my programs as winnable.
See what he's doing right there? See, that's another thing is you, I'm learning that the inner dialogue that we have in our head, not just words that you put out there, are so powerful. Like words really mean shit, you know? And like, I'm trying to, obviously here I'm not, but I'm really trying to shut up and listen. Someone told me recently the word Simon means to listen, which is fucking hilarious. Like another cosmic joke, because I never shut up and I need to listen better. And that's what the desert's teaching me, is to just slow down and listen. And obviously on here, I'm going to have a coffee and just rant by myself. But like, that's a big one for me, is to really listen and be empathetic more. Because I do have empathy. I think we just get expired. It gets pushed to the limit. Like I moved out here because I felt bad that I didn't feel bad anymore about the homeless in LA. I was like, I just got to a point where I'm like, I can't anymore. And I feel bad that I don't feel bad. Being in San Francisco, New York, LA my whole life, you're always around homeless. And I hit this point where I'm just like, the mental illness around me and the chaos and the, it's fucking, it just hit me hard. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm unplugging. I'm fucking out. This society sucks. But then sitting by yourself in the desert, it ain't healthy either. But anyway, let me finish this. I'm a narcissist.
And I count on the stupidity of whoever seems to be in power to undo them eventually, because as I said, every conspiracy has a natural lifespan. Every conspiracy collapsed by double crosses from within or by superior cleverness by rival conspiracies. And stupidity has a definite evolutionary function. I am all for abolishing stupidity, but before it goes, while there's still a lot of it around, we should pay tribute to it. It has been the strongest force in human history to date. It has shaped more historical events, battles, wars, politics, more than any other single factor. And it's an evolutionary driver. The stupidest thing that I can remember in recent scientific history was the banning of LSD research in the 1960s. That was the most promising agent of behavior change discovered in the whole history of psychology. And the government made it illegal for psychologists to pursue that line of research. We suddenly were back in the days of the Holy Inquisition. And when you ask yourself, what is the function of that kind of stupidity in evolution? Well, what stupidity does is it forces the intelligent to get more intelligent. John Lilly, when they wouldn't let him do acid research anymore, invented the isolation tank.
Yeah, that's what I'm in an isolation tank. Yeah, he's right. He's right. I'm not saying that I'm smart. I'm just saying there's a lot of dumb fucking people out there. And maybe, like you said, there's a reason, you know, for the smart to get smarter. Now, Jesus Christ, fuck. I was going to say something and I forgot. My memory's so bad. That's Robert Anton Wilson. And if you're not hip to him, I think you should be. I can't express enough how him and Robert Greene have been getting a lot of play here in the desert compound. Robert Greene is just fucking on point. I'm just finishing up his book, The Human Nature. Fucking fascinating. And one of the takeaways I got from it is that, and this is something that I think we all need to work on, is being too reactionary, right? And not slowing down and looking at your emotional response to stuff and how much emotions have, you know, been a tool for us for, you know, to survive. It's like, oh, there's a lion in the bushes. You need to have an emotional response to that to survive and be able to react. But now we live in a place where there's probably not there's mountain lions right out where I live. But anyway, for the most part, we don't have to worry about that stuff. We have these emotions for a reason, but we are controlled by our emotions. And I am so guilty of this one. Like I can't even tell you how much like I get too worked up about stuff. Maybe respond to a text without thinking clearly. Like if you just gave it a day and see how you feel the next day and then respond to a text, how much clearer you'll be in the fights you'll avoid and how much emotions control us. especially right now. Everything's so heightened and we're alone or locked away and, you know, pandemic shit. So the quote, and I just quotes are great. This one I've said a million times, from Viktor Frankl for Man's Search for Meaning. He was a Holocaust survivor, and he has a quote: between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response is our growth and our freedom. I think that's it. Anyway, I'm gonna say it again. Between stimulus and response, there's a space. So someone says something, you get upset, and instead of reacting like, what motherfucker, fuck you, road rage, whatever. Sometimes I practice it in my car. I'm practicing not responding to shit. So I'll get on the road and someone will cut me off, and instead of taking it personal, like you get mad, someone cuts you off, fuck you, like it even matters, right? And instead of getting upset, you stop and you look at it and say, okay, between stimulus and response, there's a space. Right there, already stopping and looking at it, there's the space. In that space is our power to choose our response. You can just look at it like, how am I going to respond to this right now? In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Obviously, going into a Holocaust situation, he had to apply that a lot more than we do. But point being, I think that's a very powerful tool that we all could use more, that we all need to do, that you need to be a fucking monk to be able to do it all the time, like to not react, but like to really slow down, take a breath, realize, like, look at it, like, why am I getting upset right now? What is it from my childhood in those formative first 7 years of my life made me react this way? Okay, I don't trust people. I'm just crying for attention because my dad was never around. You could start to psychoanalyze yourself. You could say it's narcissistic because you're just so wrapped up in your shit, but it's just looking at yourself, zooming out and looking at your brain as a, why am I thinking this way? Why am I feeling this way? And even just looking at it, I think that is what Carl Jung was talking about, is shadow work, right? We all have a shadow. And just looking at it, and that's the beginning of the process. Anyway, this is all the shit that's going on in my fucking head. I don't know. I had my buddy who's a Navy SEAL and a sheriff, awesome dude, on the podcast. And he's like, you really need to take this time to like write your book or do whatever. And I don't know about you guys, but I need to be more inspired, and I'm not inspired. Normally I'm funny, at least I think I am. I try to be funny. Everything I do is comedic. I like to make people laugh. I think that's my purpose, but shit isn't fun or funny right now. It just isn't. And I'm trying, and what's weird is I think there's a fatigue that's, we're a year into this pandemic, and there's, for me at least, this is normal now, and I'm just completely exhausted from emotionally from everything. And everybody's opinions, and everybody's fucking got the answers and this and that. Why do I get upset when other people are, say that they know what's going on and that this, it's the government or this? Like, why do I give a fuck? I ain't changing nobody's mind. Everyone's allowed to their own opinion. Why do I give a fuck? So I'm looking at all this shit and it's just weird. Shit just be all motherfucking weird up in this bitch. Know what I'm saying? Do you guys feel that way? Are you guys feeling like shit isn't that funny right now or fun? I mean, obviously, duh. It's just, but it, for someone like me that creates that type of content or music or whatever, like, just not fucking, I don't know. I got to get out of this rut because, you got to make it your job. You just got to sit down in front of the computer and start to, like, even this morning, I didn't even want to do this fucking podcast. I'm like, just open it up and start and go. Do something. But anyway, I'm working on the compound, which is dope. I got the outdoor kitchen. I'm looking at it right now. It's so weird. Like, I'm living in a tiny house, so I have enough refrigerator space for, two or three people for a couple days. So I got an outdoor propane refrigerator that I'm looking at right now from the 50s. And I'm doing like a shaded outdoor zone. And my stepfather just made me a 15-foot one-piece wood table, which we're going to have to really fucking put some treatment on that bitch because the sun just eats up everything out here in the desert, high desert. And what else? So what else is going on? I met one of my neighbors. So where I live, there's really not fences. There's no fences between properties. So everyone's kind of property blends into another. And I'm surrounded by one, two, 6 other properties border my 5-acre lot. And I've met most of my neighbors, except for two of them I hadn't met yet, that have this big 40-acre lots, and their houses are really far away. So my land goes like into their land, but they're never around the board because they live way farther on the other side of their 40 acres. So really my 5 acres feels a lot bigger. And I reached out to them. I left them a note on their door. I drove all the way around to their place. I was like, hey, I want to build a little guest house, but I wanted to let you guys know first before I start building something and make sure it doesn't bother you or it's in your eyesight, because that's the G code out here in the desert, is you don't want to be that guy moving in from LA and pissing people off and starting to build shit because it's sort of a very natural environment you want to leave alone and not, you know, don't want to be that guy. Just being aware and being respectful of my neighbors and not wanting to not get along with your neighbors, because that's the worst. When you got a neighbor you don't get along with, your life's a living hell. Did you guys see that? Fuck, I didn't see it, but the video of the fucking neighbors fighting in Philadelphia, the dude kills both of them over shoveling snow and then blows his own brains out. That's where we're at, people. That's what's going down. People are fucking losing it, and I want to get along with my neighbors, because that's all you got out here in this, you know, barren wasteland. So anyway, I reach out to one of my neighbors, and I left a note, and he came over, and ex-cop, cool guy from Milwaukee, and comes over in his golf cart, all-wheel drive golf cart, and pulls up. And I tell him, hey, nice to meet you. So this is where I want to put the guest house, and it's kind of overlooking his property. He's like, This isn't your land where you're showing me. This is your other neighbor's land. I'm like, are you sure? He pulls out a fucking app that shows you a grid of your property. It wasn't even my land. I was about to build and carve out a driveway up to this spot that was my neighbor's land. I didn't even know where the border of my property was. So anyway, I didn't fucking, thank God he showed me, because I was about to start building on my neighbor's land. So then I realized, oh shit, I need to, you know, figure out where exactly my property line is and this and that. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go put it over there on this other side of the fucking property on my land. Then that neighbor I meet comes over, super cool guy. He has 40 acres and a retreat that he does, and he has just beautiful, the most beautiful property out here. And he comes over and he's this really cool older cat, like a wise old, I think he was Hispanic or Native American and white mixed guy, something. But he just had this very, he was just a cool old desert wizard. And he comes over, and we walk around the property, and he's telling me all the history. He's like, yeah, I moved out here 40 years ago when no one was out here, and fell in love with it and would just lay under the stars, and I just built a deck and slept outside. And I was like, dude, that's what I did. He's like, yeah, I'm from the city. I can't believe I ended up out here. Something pulled me out. This is a vortex. I was like, dude, me too. Something pulled me out here. I don't know what it is. Something got me to come out and move to the fucking desert. And so I showed him where I wanted to build this tiny little guest bungalow bedroom. And he's like, oh, that's overlooking my property. You know, when I have retreats and people, you know, we do things here and ceremonies and stuff, you know, you're going to have someone, you know, waking up and walking out. He's like, can we put it somewhere else? And I was like, you know, part of me is like, I could be a dick and just be like, no, I'm going to, it's on my property. I'll put it where I want. But I want to respect my neighbors. So anyway, fucking first world white man problems. So now I'm like, fuck, okay, I can't put it there either. So I found a spot, I think that's where it's out of sight of all my neighbor's property, where I can put it, that's not as sexy, but it'll have to do. And I'm just figuring the shit out and taking my time and trying to fucking just make this desert compound. And then, like, when the reality of renting it out to strangers, I can't fucking do that. I'm not putting this on Airbnb. Fuck that. No. So I think the goal with this place is to maybe do kind of what my neighbor I just told you about, the old wizard, where you just do kind of retreats where people can come out and, you know, use it for a little mushroom retreat or a little yoga retreat or whatever the fuck you want it to be, a retreat. Come right for a month and rent it off me, something like that. But I'll just keep it in this small circle of people I know, because I just don't, yeah. So who fucking knows? You know, there's just no, everyone's just free falling, trying to grab onto something, and we just don't even know, like, the what tomorrow is going to be, right? Oh, and I started dabbling in the stock market, and I've never done that. I'm so late to the party. I feel like I missed the crypto boat. You know what I'm saying? Like, crypto, I feel like I missed that boat, but I guess you should still get it, but I just don't know. My business manager's like, it's so volatile. I can't say to do it for sure. You could win really big or you could lose. So anyway, I just bought a couple stocks and I finally bought Tesla. And I just look at it like real estate, like just hold on to it for 10 fucking years. And don't look at it all the time. Someone just gave me that advice. Like, don't look at it every day and get obsessed with it and worry. Just don't look, just buy it. And in 10 years, see what happens. It'll go up, down, up, down, up, down. But eventually it'll be up. Because I believe Tesla, motherfucker. I believe in Elon Musk. You're really investing in the person, you know? And I think with Neuralink and his satellite internet that's going to come out, which, thank God, that needs to happen immediately because my Wi-Fi is so slow out here. I finally am a stock market guy, but like I got the app to like check it, you know, but I'm like, nah, I don't even want to look at that shit. Just out of sight, out of mind. See what happens in 10 years. But fuck, man. Yeah. Adult shit, dude. Adult shit. You know, like my stomach issue, house, stock market. I still feel like a kid, but I got all these adult things going on. But anyway, I hope my stomach issue gets fucking figured out, you know? Who fucking knows? I still don't even know what it is. I went in and they said, again, it could be a hernia, it could be a gallbladder issue, it could be, and they CAT scanned me, they're like, everything looks fine. Did all the blood work, everything's fine. And then they hit me back 6 hours later and they're like, actually, there's something in your gallbladder. We need to send you to a GI, a gastrointestinal doctor. So I'm gonna go do that, yada yada. But yeah, fucking midlife white man shit, dude. It's crazy. Should be all fucking crazy lately. Like I watch Super Bowl or like I watch the, you know, basketball or whatever. I'm like, fuck, in my mind, I'm still 23 like the players on the field. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the age of the coach. I'm the age of the coach. He's 46. I'm 46. The fuck? Time is a trip. Time is a motherfucking trip. I also want to play you a little something. Let me pull this up. I want to pull something up.
And then on so top of that,
here's Robert Greene on
just
Tom
so much
Bailey.
Data coming at you so fast, it feels hopeless.
Impact Theory is the name of this podcast. Yeah.
Well, you have to, you know, one thing that happens to me that in my meditation that's very interesting is I realize how deeply I have been conditioned and that how deeply we've all been conditioned.
Mm-hmm. By what?
By other people, by what we hear, by what we read, by the people who talk to us, by our environment, by the culture that we're in, by the times that we're living. The separation from being conditioned is what is truly my own thoughts, what comes from within me. Now, it's a very artificial dividing line because really none of my thoughts totally come from me. Mm. I've inherited language that goes back thousands of years. Mm. I was conditioned by my parents to respond a certain way, right? And, you know, I've obviously, a lot of my ideas come from books that I've read. Mm. So not all of it, the dividing line between what's truly me and what's not is fluid. But there is something that you can say is me. It's like, this is how I think. This is what my needs are. This is where I am right now in December 2020. This is my reality, right? Okay, it's who you are. It's what your needs are and what your experience is. And then there's that artificial element of all the stuff that you mentioned that's so blasting in our faces from our culture at like, you know, light year speed, incredible speeds that are just filling our brains with junk, with information that we don't need.
This is what I was talking about earlier. It's just too much information. We're not designed for all of this data coming at us. It's overwhelming. We used to be in hunter-gatherer groups of 50 people with one tribe elder, and now we sit here and just get all this information thrown at us, and it's fucked.
With heated opinions that really aren't our own opinions, right? So you have to be able, first of all, to be able to turn that shit off. I'm sorry to use that language.
It's okay, Robert.
You got to be able to turn it off, you know? If you can't, you know, take breaks from social media, from your Instagram account, from Facebook.
Which I can't recommend enough. I just did a month off. See what happens. You can't, it's weird. The first 3 days, you just keep picking up your phone and looking at it. You're like, oh, yeah, I don't have social media. I'm no social media. What am I looking at? And then I realized I'm addicted to the scroll. Like, I like the scroll because then, like, the only thing left on my phone was YouTube. And I'm just scrolling on YouTube, which is information, information, information. It's fucking too much. But yet I want to learn. So, but, like, it's too much. It's too much. So, here.
From Twitter, then you're a prisoner of it. You know, just admit it to yourself. I am a prisoner of social media.
Admit it.
I can't control it. It controls me.
Yep.
And they, we talked earlier about marketing. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook. These people are masters at marketing. They know exactly how to press all of your buttons. They know that if they give a topic that's very controversial, that's maybe not necessarily true, but is very heated, they'll get more views, more likes, more posts, more reposting, etc. They know how to use certain colors to grab your eye, to grab your attention. They know sounds, little beeping noises.
Yeah, did you know that all McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, they're all red and yellow because that stimulates hunger subconsciously? Did you know that? It's interesting, right? And the red light, the traffic light's red because subconsciously you think blood, accident. Yeah, it's some primal shit. So yeah, most fast foods are red and yellow because it stimulates hunger. It's got to be like flesh and blood or something. But check this out.
On your stupid smartphone, I like that word, your stupid smartphone, that are going to like engage you, go, whoa, wow, I better pay attention. They are manipulating you. You are conditioned. You are a prisoner of social media. You are not in control of it. You're not. You think you're the one that's posting all these things that you want to post about your life. But really, you're not. You're responding to what everybody else is doing. You're being a conformist.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to control it, you wouldn't have...
I just saw Jim Carrey say the other day, when someone stops him for a selfie or photo for social media, he's like, it stops the flow of life. I was like, fuck, that's so true. You're like hanging out and then someone like wants to take a picture. Oh, Dad, what's funny? Do that again. You're like, no, dude, it happened. Like... Why do you, there's a flow happening and you're interrupting it because you're a narcissist and you want a photo for whatever reason, and it fucks up life. It's fucking up life. And I'm not saying I don't do it, but I've noticed that I do that. Like I'll find myself like, you know, on a vacation somewhere looking at this beautiful view. I'm like, oh, I got to post this on Instagram. Why the fuck do I got to post this on Instagram? To show someone that I'm better than them because look where I am geographically and rub it in? Or am I doing it because I want to share beauty? Or am I doing it because... But in either way, I'm stopping this beautiful moment of, I got to post this. Fuck. Oh, food came on the table. Got to post this. No, I want to eat it. It's warm. What the fuck are we doing?
Some distance, you would know. All right, here's something that's really affecting me as an individual that's part of my life that's... I'm excited about. I want to share that with people. And it comes from, instead of the need to get attention, instead of the need to get people to like you, instead of the need to just vent your rage, it's...
Okay, there it is right there. I think I'm a people pleaser and I'm always making sure everyone else is entertained and I'm not, and I never took care of myself. And I think it's attention seeking, it's to validate me, and we all do it on social media. You get that dopamine hit if you get a bunch of likes. I'm saying shit we already know, but it's just interesting to hear Robert Greene break it down from such a palatial standpoint.
Something that, like, I want to express a reality that I've discovered, an idea. How many times is social media used for the spreading of an actual idea that's been rationally thought out? Well, then that, if you're able to do that, then you are the one in control of this monster, this beast, and you can use it for your own purposes. But just think about, and I'm not getting on a high horse here. I am as much guilty of this as anybody. See? I know how powerful it can be. I know how, when I meditate, I go, whoa, where's that idea coming from? Robert, you have been conditioned. You've been brainwashed by the media around you.
See? So at least you can admit it. Can you admit that you're brainwashed? Or if you're like, no, I'm not. I'm not a narcissist. I'm not brainwashed. Yeah, we all are. So it starts there, just being self-aware.
Just as guilty as anyone. It's very difficult. You're submerged in it. We're social animals. We're creatures of our culture, of our times. It's not easy. But you have to be able to realize, the first steps to realize that you are someone who's been conditioned just as deeply as one of Pavlov's dogs in those experiments, right?
Right, so that idea of being
conditioned. Anyway, you get it. That's a great podcast if you guys want to listen. It's Robert Greene on Impact Theory. Just came out. Or maybe it's not, didn't come out because it sounded like he said December. It's like a month old. Anyway, can't get enough Robert Greene. Robert Anton Wilson. These are guys I recommend for you to check out. Fucking, that's what's up. How long has this been? Let's see where we're at. I can't even tell. But anyway, I think that was a good little rant. It was just, I'm going to call it Joshua Tree Rant Part 3. And I'm going to leave you with a song. I'm going to start doing old Dirt Nasty songs. But I got to get them off my old computer. Fuck, you ever find your old computer, old phone, and you go through the photos and the memories? It's like, oh, shit. Like looking at 15 photos from 15 years ago, it's just so bizarre. It like brings up so much shit. And then, so I did that recently. I found an old computer looking for old Dirt Nasty songs because I want to put out like an old Dirt Nasty's Lost Songs album because I feel like I can't really make any new music right now and I don't want to. So I'm going to put out like the Lost Demo or something like that. But going through it, you find all these photos and man, what a trip. I know I'm being a little bitch, but it's a fucking, yeah, it's something about photos more than video even, like, trips you out. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with a random old, random Dirt Nasty song that maybe you didn't hear. It's going to be a mystery Dirt Nasty song. I don't even know which one yet. I'm just going to send it to my engineer and put it in there. And you know what? You guys are crispy little babies. Thanks for listening to me rant about nothing. I love you. Love you, homie.
Because I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you.
I just quit smoking weed.
Cause I'm better than you.
I've been sober 3 weeks.
Cause I'm better than you.
I eat gluten-free pasta.
Cause I'm better than you.
Well, I did ayahuasca.
Cause I'm better than you.
I've been to Ibiza.
Cause I'm better than you.
I pronounce it Ibiza.
Cause I'm better than you.
I never eat dairy.
Cause I'm better than you.
Well, my folks are still married.
Cause I'm better than you.
I only shop at Whole Foods.
Cause I'm better than you.
Well, I was homeschooled.
Cause I'm better than you.
I deleted the gram.
Cause I'm better than you.
Well, I've been to Burning Man.
Cause I'm better than you.
I'm better than all of you. You know it's true. I'm always gonna be a little better than you. You're just a stupid little bitch. You belong in the zoo. I'm always gonna be a little better than you.
I got Alexa in my home.
Cause I'm better than you.
I got the newest iPhone.
Cause I'm better than you.
I go to hot dog yo.
Cause I'm better than you.
I make my own kombucha.
Cause I'm better than you.
I'm going to Tulum.
Cause I'm better than you.
Well, I microdose shrooms.
Cause I'm better than you.
My beef eat grass.
Cause I'm better than you.
I in a minute fast.
Cause I'm better than you.
My best friend's gay.
Cause I'm better than you.
Well, I'm a polyamorous.
Cause I'm better than you.
I'm woke AF.
Cause I'm better than you.
Well, I'm hashtag blessed.
Cause I'm better than you.
I'm better than all of you. You know it's true. I'm always gonna be a little better than you. You're just a stupid little bitch. You belong in the zoo. I'm always gonna be a little better than you.
Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you. Cause I'm better than you.
Oh damn, them white boys crazy.